put a bug in my ear Sunday night, and I've been thinking about it, but actually, to be honest, I've been thinking about it for weeks, and I have been thinking about doing a study on the red heifer and talking about the red heifer as it relates to Bible prophecy and to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our rapture to meet him in the air. And I am excited about that. You say, how long have you been excited about that? Well, you have to do the math. From 1967, June 16th, on a Friday, till now, I've been excited about it. So you do the math, and I'm just as excited as ever. My wife can tell you, is she here tonight? Yes, she's there. A good girl. And my wife can tell you tonight, I was clapping for a speech by Benjamin Netanyahu. I was so fired up. And anyway, I was thinking about the red heifer, and I said, I've got to preach on the red heifer. First, I got to clean the carpet up here. But anyway, I got to preach on the red heifer, I was thinking, I've been planning to do that and looking for a green light. I couldn't even get a yellow light. I mean, everything was stoplight. I was doing other stuff. I just couldn't do it. But tonight, I believe I have a green light to do a series, not really on the red heifer per se, but it will be involved in that. But those things that are leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ and help us to watch more expectantly and to work harder for it and to wait for it like the Bible says. And I hope you're doing that. And I hope you're living for the Lord's coming. You're watching for it. You're working for it. And so I looked about the red heifer. Now, I understood, well, let me just digress. The red heifer is, according to the Torah, which is the law of God, Numbers 19, is an animal that is needed in order to do the temple sacrifices, to do the Mosaic rituals, and it's needed for purification. Of course, we know, just like the big ox that I talked about, is the Lord Jesus, when we're yoked up with him. We know the antitype of the red heifer is the Lord Jesus. He is the one who purifies us for worship and work. But, you know, the Jewish people are going by the law of Moses and don't see their Messiah and don't understand that, and so they're looking for the red heifer. And they've been looking and watching. Now, there have been, since the time of Moses in Numbers 19, there have been only 9 of these red heifers that have been used for purification. And the 9th one was sacrificed 2,000 years ago. And Maimonides, who was in Middle Ages, you know, during the Middle Ages, not a Middle Age, but during the Middle Ages, rabbi, Jewish rabbi, he said when the 10th one appears, it will be the time for the Messiah. Of course, we know that he was right, but not for the first coming of the Messiah, but for the second coming, because the Jews missed their Messiah, sadly. But that doesn't matter. When he comes the second time, the whole nation of Israel, Romans 11, 25 and 26, will be saved in one day. Glory to God. Glory to God. And God used Israel to get me interested in prophecy in the Six-Day War to pique my interest. And it happened around June 6, June 7, 1967. And I got saved June 16th. So go figure. And so I'm just saying that these are exciting developments, and I've been watching for Christ's coming ever since I got saved, amen. How many of you are watching for Christ's coming? Amen. And you better be. And so I've been watching for his second coming, and And in that whole second coming, there's going to be a lot of things accomplished. Just like when he came the first time, he was here for 33 and a half years, and a lot happened during his first coming. Well, during his second coming, the word is parousia, that there are a number of events that will happen, and the first of those is the rapture, amen, when he comes. But then a number of events will play out. There are not two second comings, one at the beginning of the seventh. No, it's one coming with a number of events. You don't have that right. You don't have the language right. You don't interpret your scripture right. But anyway, I'm excited about this. And the red heifer, even though the Jews are looking for the law of Moses and we're looking for the Lord of the law of Moses. So there's a big difference in that, but yet, nevertheless, God is working with Israel in unbelief. And he is doing great things. And so we can expect great things to happen. And so long story short, they added the Mishnah to the Torah, and the Mishnah is like extra biblical requirements for the red heifer. It's kind of like the scribes and the Pharisees. They added to the law and made it void in some ways, you know. And they've done that with the red heifer, and they made it so that if there's one black hair or one white hair, it's disqualified. Oh, it doesn't say that in Numbers 19. It said if there's a blemish, it's disqualified. It doesn't say that. But they go into it a little bit more. And they put other stuff on it. And so it's easy to disqualify. So they had one called Dolly that came and they thought that was it. And that was disqualified. And it just hasn't had one to be qualified for all these years. Since the Temple Institute under Gershon Solomon and other Jewish groups that want to rebuild the temple, they've got the garments now. They've got a lot of the articles for the temple done now. They've got the priesthood figured out through DNA testing. They're ready to go, but they don't have the red heifer. That's a big problem. Haven't had one for 2,000 years. That's a big problem. But you have to say then, when the red heifer appears, we are getting close. Right. Not to the first coming of Messiah, but to the second coming. Amen. Because we know there's going to be a temple. We know the Jews are going to offer sacrifices in that temple, at least from the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. We know in the middle of that seven-year period that the Jewish Antichrist will put an image of the Gentile beast. Get that straight. Most guys don't even have that straight. And put it up in the Holy of Holies. And that will be the abomination of desolation. Now, all these secular Jews that are happy with the Jewish Antichrist and his worldliness and happy with the Gentile beast, they are going to not have a problem with that. Because it's secular humanism, the worship of a man. They won't have a problem. But I'll tell you who will have a problem. The Hasidic Jews. Those kind of Jews. The Orthodox, they're going to have a problem. They're going to be part of that one-third that God will save. And they're going to run for their lives if they're in Jerusalem and hide out, you see, from the beast. And that will be a time. And many of the Jews that are compromised with the world and love the world and go along with the secularized view of Messiah, they will take the mark. And they'll wind up in hell. But I'm just saying that God will protect Israel. I'm not saying they'll be saved during that time of that hiding out. No, they won't be saved until the Messiah appears on the earth in physical form. But they'll be protected, sealed during the great tribulation and the subsequent day of the Lord's wrath, which will happen in an undetermined yet day during the second 3.5 years that will cut short the tribulation. That's why Jesus said no flesh should be saved unless that. He's talking about elect flesh. He's talking about those that are sick. No flesh would be saved if he does not cut those days short. But at any rate, I want to get back to where I am, because I'm really not preaching on the red heifer tonight. I'll get to it. But I am preaching on something else tonight, and I could say more about the red heifer, but I gotta move on. Those of you that have been here, remember on October 2nd, maybe you could get me a mic, one of the handheld. On October 7th, 2023, an event happened, and I preached on that event. It was a current event, but I went into Scripture and preached at least 9 messages on it. By the way, those messages went to Israel and through the Israeli army in some sectors, and they heard those messages. They were very, quote-unquote, pro-Israel in one sense, of God's sense of being pro-Israel. And so they went through the Israeli army, and it had a great witness for the Lord. And as a result of that, a lady that is in the Hollywood industry, and her husband's in the Hollywood, a Jewish lady that we've known, a friend of ours, she is coming to this church in July with her family. First time ever in an independent fundamental Baptist church. God just working things out. Amen. But I want to ask one of the men, so pray for her salvation, but I want to ask one of the men, what event was that that happened that had biblical significance, if you know the prophetic scriptures and all that? Brother Matt.
Israel was attacked by Hamas.
Yeah, Israel was attacked by Hamas from the Gaza Strip. And that is in fulfillment of, I believe, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Ezekiel 25 has scripture in there that refers to that. And you are now seeing, I believe, a unfolding of those prophecies already, where Israel is literally leveling Gaza. And I'll talk more about that later on, but that is a fulfillment of those prophecies. So ever since October 7, Brother Steve, and that attack by Hamas, I have believed and do believe, Brother Bob, that a genie was let out of the bottle as far as prophecy that has certain things that must happen leading up to the second coming, that genie's not going back in the bottle. Those prophecies have rolled out of the parchment and plummeted down onto the pavement of fulfillment. And they're being fulfilled. We're not going to be able to put them back in, nor do we wish to be able to put them back in. We have reached the point of no return when it comes to the final pieces of the puzzle of prophecy about the return of Jesus Christ. I don't know when he's coming back. I can't give you the day or the hour. Can't give you the year. Don't intend to. But I believe we're going to see prophecies fulfilled. And I believe that we're seeing those puzzle pieces of prophecy rapidly beginning to fit together more and more. And it's like so many prophecy teachers say, it seems like there's a convergence of all these things. Or like a puzzle, when you put it together, just starts filling up and it's easier to put the pieces in. And if you've been studying this book, you know this book, when you see something, you can put it in where it belongs. You can rightly divide the word of truth so it fits together when it's fulfilled. And I encourage you to study with us and to listen with us. I encourage you to go back over those messages. Listen to those messages. I have spent 52 years studying Bible prophecy. 53 years. 54. Oh, more than that. Good night. So many I can't even count that high. I'll get a bloody nose up here. But anyway, So as I studied this and looked at this, I looked at the red heifer. Do you know they have found five red heifers in Texas. How many heard this? Five red heifers in Texas that fit the bill, and this was a born-again Christian rancher, and they brought them to Israel early when they were young to be raised by the Jewish rabbis under the Mosaic requirements. All of that tells you prophecies being fulfilled, right? That all of this is happening. You know, these people that say that Israel has no significance, it's just a bunch of Zionism, they don't know their prophetic head from a stinking hole in the ground. These things are significant. I just studied all the scripture about this afternoon about God calling Israel back in unbelief to their land. And we could go through all of those, but I don't have time tonight. But it's just amazing the significance. I've always believed that ever since I got saved. And I had my professors in Bible college try to talk me out of it. One professor, that's just Zionism over there. And I said, hogwash. Didn't believe it then. Don't believe it now. And so I'm just saying that these events that are taking place over in Israel are significant, and they had five red heifers. They disqualified one under the Mishnah requirements, and now I guess they've disqualified another, but they have three. And according to the requirements of the rabbinic law, you have to wait till the third year before you can offer them. Sometime in the third year. All three of them are now in the third year, I believe. And they're ready to go. They pass. So any one of the three could be a red heifer. It's amazing. Now, they had scheduled it for around Passover. I'm not sure if Passover is April 22nd, but I know they had scheduled. Okay, it is, he said. He's worked with the Jews. April 22nd, they had scheduled the sacrifice of the red heifer. Now, that would have to be on the Mount of Olives where they would do it. I think they have the scaffolding all set up to do the sacrifice. First time in 2,000 years. Well, you know what follows after that. They're going to want the temple.
Right.
Guess what? The Muslims know it too. And Bob, you put that bug in my ear and I studied it out. You're absolutely right. October 7 was a preemptive strike, according to many Muslims in Gaza and even in Iran, Shiite Muslims. Because you have to remember, Hamas, is a lot of it is under the influence of Khamenei. The Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, and they wanted to stop the red heifer. Now, that wasn't their only motive, but it was one of the motives of those that attacked Israel, is to stop the red heifer. By the way, I just heard, if I'm right on this, that the offering of the red heifer, though everything's ready, has been postponed again. It will not be October 22nd. And I will not be preaching on the red heifer tonight. But I am going to start this series by saying that even though that has been delayed, and I looked at this and what happened in Gaza, it sparked me again to go back over the Middle East wars that are going to roll out from the parchment onto the pavement. And I personally believe that Ezekiel 38 and 39, and that great war involving Russia and the former Soviet Union, Muslim states, and Turkey, and Iran, and Yemen in North Africa, modern-day Yemen, That war is something that you can begin to see churning up right now. But I don't believe that is a now prophecy. I don't believe that that's imminent. And I've talked about that at length from Ezekiel 38 and 39. I believe that's a next prophecy, that other things must be fulfilled before that prophecy. And I haven't changed my belief on that. Now, but I do believe that already the beginnings and the fuse has already been lit for Psalm 83. The fuse has already been lit for Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, that's because you haven't studied these things out or heard these things. But I hope to God that you will, because they are important if you're going to be watching for the coming of the Lord. And so I'm just saying that we're looking for these events, and so we want to talk about that tonight and what is happening. So please listen up, and I want to get into the first point tonight. Where does the direct attack from Iran against Israel fit into the prophetic puzzle? Okay, that's the name of the message. Where does the Iran attack fit into the prophetic puzzle tonight? You say, Pastor, what attack from Iran? What bottle have you been hiding in? Or where have you hid your head in the sand? How many know that there's been an attack upon Israel from Iran? Okay, thank you. It's the first time in modern history that Iran has directly attacked Israel. It occurred Saturday, our time, April the 13th, 2024. Mark it down. Just like when I heard October 7th, oh, I started preaching. Now I hear April 13th, and here it is, what is it, April 17th today? I am preaching on it. It's time to get back now. I got to get you back there. If you say, oh, there he goes again, God help you. God help you, because I can't help you. And so I want to say the first thing is, don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. I guess I should have thrown out the word how there. I must have had cow in my mind. I don't know. How now, brown cow. Don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. There are a lot of misinformation, disinformation, like the globalists like to say, about Iran's motives. And I've heard it. I love to watch Alex Jones. I enjoy watching Alex Jones. I enjoy listening to him talk about globalism and insights I get. But I do not enjoy hearing him about Israel. I get very angry. I get very upset. My hackles come up. And why is that? Well, because when I was listening to Alex Jones, he's like, oh, Iran, they're this nice country. You know, they don't want war. We shouldn't be upset about Iran or any of that. You know, he just makes it like a moral equivalence type of thing. Don't be deceived like that about Iran's motives concerning Israel. Now, let me say this tonight. Don't be deceived about how God himself, Adonai, Jehovah, don't be deceived about how God feels about the motives of the present leaders of Iran. They're leaders of Persia, and they're leaders of the ancient nation called Elam in the Bible. And in Jeremiah 49, verse 37, God tells you how he feels about the present day Iranian leadership. And here's what it says in verse 37 of Jeremiah 49. You have it up there. It says, I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. Now, recently I heard a speech before the United Nations by Benjamin Netanyahu. You hear him get a lot of flack, don't you? You hear Donald Trump get a lot of flack. But I believe that he was speaking the truth to those people. in the United Nations. And he was telling them about Iran and what an evil empire it is right now. He was telling them. He was telling them they're evil and their designs are evil. And that he was in agreement with the law of God. The prophet of God says, and I, God says, will bring evil upon them. What does that mean? I will bring trouble. I will bring destruction. Even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword of them. So Alex Jones is wrong when he's not angry at present day Iran. I am. Now, let me say, when those drone strikes happened on April the 13th, there were people in the streets of Iran cheering. Yay! But not all the Iranian people. There are people in Iran that are getting saved. They're coming to the Lord. They're getting saved out of Islam. And frankly, they want those leaders removed, and they weren't cheering. In fact, they would tend to cheer Israel when they take out some of these wicked leaders. They tend to cheer that. And they are cheering for and waiting for this prophecy in Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39 to be fulfilled when Iran is hit by air power and their nuclear sites are taken out in ancient Elam and around that area, and it causes refugees to be scattered and ends the present day Iranian regime. Mark it down. They are going down. They're going down. And it will be God that does it. He'll use means. He'll use the IDF. But it will be God that does it, and make no mistake about it. If they do not hit Iran's nuclear sites this time, they eventually will. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it happened now in 2024 or 2025. I'm not saying it will, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised. This is how close. So don't be deceived about the motives of Iran's regime that's in power concerning Israel. And I'm sick and tired when a guy like Alex Jones puts out the propaganda concerning Iran that Iran is putting out about itself, that the mainstream media puts out. That Biden, Biden, remember Obama runs Biden, Biden puts out. Alex Jones says, well, a clock that's broken is right twice a day. And he says, I agree with Biden. A clock that's broken is twice a day. No, I don't agree with Biden. You say, why not? Because God doesn't agree with Biden. I am God's spokesman. I'm preaching for God. Some people say, well, I don't like you preaching politics. This isn't politics. Because it has to do with nations, this Bible speaks about nations. This Bible speaks, and when it speaks, you better listen. Amen? Just like when Brother Joe preaches. When he preaches, you better listen. He's got a lot of wisdom. And so don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. And God says those things. Now, I got a kick out of John Fetterman, Brother Bob. You sent me that. I got a kick out of John. How many of you know who John Fetterman is? He was the Democrat that won when he was mentally challenged because of brain problems, brain injuries, and he couldn't even speak. It was as bad as Biden is, even though he's a young man. And I was like, they must have stole that one. And I still believe they probably did steal it in Philadelphia, you know, and got him in there. I couldn't believe it. And he's a Democrat. But the crazy thing is, he's starting to get his mind back. And whatever happened to his brain, I wish they would do that on all the demon rats. Because he's starting to come back, and he's pro-Israel. And he's standing up for Israel. And he's going on CNN because they're his darling, you know. Oh, man, we got a Democrat, you know. And they're just so glad about him. But then he starts talking about Israel, and they're like,
that's right.
You could just see the devil possessed people going. And I love it. It just strikes me as funny. I'm not saying I agree with everything he says, but something's happening there. And I'm excited about that. Because God Almighty is angry at Iran. And no matter what their propaganda machine tries to put out, like they're seeking peace and they want everything good, no matter what they're saying, they are the greatest existential threat to Israel in the world today. And it goes along with Bible prophecy, not only Jeremiah 49, but Psalm 83 and other scriptures. And so I'm just saying to you, they're not only an existential threat to the little Satan, they're an existential threat to the great Satan, which they call us, the United States. And they have weapons that are aimed at us. I mean, they're going to more and more develop intercontinental ballistic missiles that can hit the U.S. They already have missiles that can hit Israel. But they're developing those that can hit it. Now, I don't know if the Iranians invented chess. That's the rumor. But I know they're chess players. They're very good at chess. And I want to say to you tonight, and I'm almost out of time, and I'm just getting started on this. Just getting started on this. But let me just say this tonight. There are four chessboard pieces in the plan of Iran to squeeze the life out of Israel and put them in checkmate. And the Iranians are playing chess. And if you don't know how to play chess, or you don't know how they're playing chess, or you don't have the telescope of the Bible to see what's going on, you're going to miss it. And you say, well, what are their four pieces? I'll just get into that. There are four pieces. First of all, Iran has the piece that is called Iraq, Syria, and they are in and under the control of Iran. And let me just say that they are under the control of Iran. So let's do it this way. Iraq is now under the control of Iran. You say, how did that happen? They're so much influenced by Iran, they literally control them now. I thought they were democratic. I thought Bush freed them up. No, he did not. He just got rid of a nation that was stalemating the Iranians. They were fighting one another to a stalemate. It's like two guys of equal power trying to fight each other. And they couldn't beat one another. And then Bush took them out. Why did Bush take them out? It was stupid. They weren't the ones that were responsible for 9/11. Well, we know a little bit about why that is. But anyway, Bush is a globalist and a corrupt Republican. But I want to just say he took... And took out. So Iraq now is dominated by Iran. Think about Eric when he got that IED. That was not from Iraq. That was from Iran. It was Iranians that put the IEDs there. They took over Iraq. They now pretty much control Iraq. They have their Shiites in there and their militants in there and so forth and so on. Now, they also have taken over, in large part, the government of Syria. They've taken over. Iran has taken over Syria. They've taken over that country. And they put their people in power over that. Do you know there are all kinds of chemical weapons that are a great threat to Israel? That Iran has Syria as its proxy, and now Iraq as its proxy? Do you see it's like the old Persian Empire? They want to control all the way from the east all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And they have no room for Israel. And then they went all the way to the Med Sea to a place called Lebanon. And one of the men tell me, if I can have that again, one of the men tell me who it is in Lebanon that has the control of Lebanon, who is a puppet or proxy for Iran, because Iran loves to do things through its pawns, its proxies. It's the chess mover behind it. So you've got number one, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. Those three nations are basically under the influence. It's pretty much controlling. But what organization is big in Lebanon under Iran? One of the men, can you tell me? Raise your hand if you know. Oh, Brother Matt, again.
Hezbollah.
And Hezbollah right now has 150,000 missiles aimed at Israel. Can you imagine that? I don't think you can imagine it. The firepower. What that can do. It makes Gaza be dwarfed compared to Hezbollah and what they have aimed at Israel. And so that is the first chess piece that is meant to checkmate Israel. The second chess piece that's meant, by the way, before I go from that first one, how many have heard about the fact that Israel, to deal with that chess piece, recently took out an Iranian military leader called Mohammad Reza Zahedi and seven other evil Iranian officers in the Iranian embassy in all places? Guess what city? Damascus, Syria. And that, quote unquote, precipitated this attack by Iran, which we'll talk about. But I'm just saying they took him out because of what he's doing. By the way, they just took out three other Hezbollah leaders. It's in the news today. I just heard it before I came in. And these people are killing Jewish people in northern Israel. It's really terrible. And it's terrible what they're doing to these Jewish people in northern Israel. And they're doing that. Now also they're destabilizing and controlling Hamas in Gaza. And so that is another thing that Iran has, the destabilization of Hamas. So that's the second one, Hamas. Now, Hamas is pretty much defeated, amen? They have a little bit more to go, but how many have heard the world squawking that Israel's doing bad things? Yeah. They're not. They're not. And I could get into it more. If I have the time, I would, but I may run out of time, but I will get into it. They're not. They're not. It's a lie. It's a worldly propaganda that they're trying to push on you. So that's the second thing. It's Gaza. And they have had to fight against that. It's amazing that they have a third one. And that third one is Yemen. And who is in Yemen that is blasting missiles at Israel all the time? The Houthis. The Houthis in Yemen. And that is a third thing. Now there is a fourth one. There is a fourth one. And that is very interesting. We'll talk about that in a moment, a fourth one that is going on there. But let me just say this. October 7th was attack on Israel influenced by Iran, but Hamas may have jumped the gun to get the glory. I personally believe, after I've studied this, that Iran's plan was to have Hamas attack Israel and to have Hezbollah attack in a coordinated attempt, which would have really been devastating to Israel. But Hamas wanted to get the glory. They jumped the gun. Thank God they did that. And now Hezbollah has been like off kilter. They haven't been able to jump in. And so that is a blessing that that happened. And when they came in, Hamas, they killed babies, they killed women and children, they butchered, they raped, they took hostages. Then they used those hostages as bargaining chips. It's just really, really terrible. I remember I shared this with Brother Bob back when this happened. One of these young terrorists that came in that did this, they were shooting and killing all these Jewish people. And he was calling back to his dad and mom. And you got to hear the cell phone conversation. And he was bragging to his dad and mom about all the Jews he killed. Like, I killed 16 Jews today, Daddy, Mommy. And these are Palestinians living in Gaza. And they're going, oh, son, we're so proud of you. You see, it goes beyond just the leadership. It's into the families. It's an inveterate hatred. It's in there. And it's deeply burrowed in. And so they have taken these hostages. They use them as bargaining chips. Think about the hostages that still may be alive. And they won't release them. And they're using them as bargaining chips to say, oh, we can do this and do that. You can't hit us back. But wait a minute, government's supposed to defend its people. And so the charge is Israel is guilty of genocide. And the defense of Israel, oh, they're doing suicide. They're killing our people. They're killing all of our people. Let me tell you something. Israel has tried to avoid civilian casualties. If you are a civilian in a war zone and you recognize that the enemy is too strong, you have a choice. You know what that choice is? Surrender. If you are parents over children and you don't surrender and your kids get hit or somebody gets hit with a bomb, you are responsible. If you surrender, even under the Torah, to the Israeli army, they won't kill you. That is the responsibility of these parents. That is the responsibility of these people. And they are not doing it, but they do just the opposite. They go into hospitals and set up their military headquarters in the hospital. They hide behind children in schools. They want to have children because they mean nothing to them. They are just bargaining chips. Israel has to thoroughly defeat them until they unconditionally surrender. There is no peace without victory in war. Yes, war is hell. But there must be a victory. And this war, it's a just war. The world is wrong, and we need to understand that. And so I'm just saying that that Hamas jumped the gun, and all of this evil is going on. But I want to just end tonight with this. Don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. They plan to destroy Israel. They plan to destroy Israel, and they have all kinds of plans. I'm going to get into it more specifically next week, Lord willing, and the crick don't rise. But I want you to be watching. I want you to be pointing people to the Lord is coming back. He could come back in your lifetime. Yeah, he could even come back in my lifetime. My family says, Dad, I believe that you're going to be here when Jesus comes back. You've loved the Lord's appearing, and I just believe you're going to be alive when Jesus comes back, and you're going to get raptured, and he's going to keep... Well, I don't know if that's the case. But I know I'm going to be watching. And I know, dead or alive, I'm not going to miss the rapture. Amen. If 1 Thessalonians 4 is right, dead or alive, I'm not missing the rapture. Because if you're dead, you're going to come up out of the ground or wherever your molecules are. And if you're alive, you're going to be, you're not going to miss it. Amen? So be watching for it. Be talking about it. And I'm praying for the guys up here at Kelleher's. I went to Kelleher's, and all these guys are sitting there. The whole office full of, they're all Irish Catholics, you know, Kelleher's guys, it seems like. And I went in there the other day, and I witnessed to them, but a lot of times I just share with them. And they said, "Where's the candy? You're slipping up. We don't have the candy." And I said, "Hey, we got a Biden rally. Why aren't you guys down there at the rally? Your man Biden is there." "He's not our man," they said. Then the head guy at Kelleher, he said, "I'm voting for you, Pastor. You run. I'll vote for you over Biden." I said, "Well, I'm not running. That's not my job. I got a better job to do. Much better job." Amen and amen. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And we've been talking about why.